either reserve. You're listening to Leaders.com. Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Salamun ala ibadihi allazeen astafa. Amma ba'd. Fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira wa da'iyan ila Allahi bi'idhnihi wa sirajan munira. Sadaqallahu al-azim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, my intention was for this Jumu'ah to touch on a very important topic, which would be titled as Understanding World Politics in Front of the Policies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we would value everything that comes from this great personality, this great Nabi, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But inshallah, if Allah wills, we will start this topic in the next session, next week inshallah. I will try to complete the topic that we touched on in Jumu'ah today, and due to time constraint, I could not finish this topic. Understanding the concept of Miladun Nabi. Understanding the concept of Miladun Nabi. In the month of Rabiul Awwal, we hear this term all the time. Miladun Nabi, Miladun Nabi. Milad in the Arabic language means the birth of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we say Miladun Nabi, it means the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so there is no doubt that every Muslim has great love for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every believer will want to love Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is part of Iman. If you don't love Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are not a believer, you are not a Muslim, you are not a mu'min. And so loving Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the foundation of Iman. However, we need to understand that the lover should love the beloved in the way that the beloved wants him to be loved. It is important that you love Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would wish and desire for you to love him. This is something that is very, very important for us to understand. The reason for that is, we have a relationship with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that relationship is that he is our Nabi, the Prophet, the Messenger, and we are the Ummati. Ummati means the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the relationship that we have with this straight line, Ummati going to the Nabi, is that we have to follow everything that is taught to us by this Nabi. So everything is actually codified and fenced, so that complete protection is given to a believer. Otherwise, Subhanallah, shaitan can mislead a person very quickly. Very quickly. And we see this, one of the greatest messengers of Banu Israel is a Nabi whose name is Jesus, Isa alayhi salam. What a great Nabi, subhanallah. The Quran speaks about his entire family. Not once in his life, aliyadhu billah, did he ever say that I am the son of God, or that I am one from the Trinity. Not once in his entire life. But you see today how shaitan tampers with the mind, and people are misled, aliyazu billah. And they love Jesus. It's not that they don't love Jesus. They love Jesus. But they love him in a way that they push him so far that they have made him into the son of God. They have made him into the son of God. Allahu Akbar. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ana khatamun nabiyyin. Remember, I am the last Nabi, wala nabiyya ba'di, and no Nabi will come after me. And I am leaving you two things. Hold on to these two things. One is the Quran, the kalam of Allah, and one is my sunnah. One is my sunnah. And you will never go astray. You will never go astray if you follow these two things. Bas. And so how are we to love Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That is also explained to us. That is also mentioned in the hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so Milad means the birth of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the month of Rabiul Awwal, of course. That has been the greatest day in the annals of Islamic history for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come. But now the issue is, how do we understand the Milad of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? First of all, what we need to understand, that in the 63 years of the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 40 years before Nabuwat, 23 years after Nabuwat, his life in Makkah, 13 years, his life in Medina Munawwara, 10 years, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam day and night had explained everything that is of concern in Sharia. Everything. He taught us everything. How to comb your hair. Can you imagine that? How to put surma in your eyes. Allahu Akbar. Everything. How to do istinja, he taught us. Everything he taught. But what we don't see is in the 63 years, ever for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to gather people in the masjid and to call the sahaba and to say to them, remember Rabiul Awwal month has started. Don't forget it is my birth month, the day in which I was born. And therefore go and adorn and beautify your houses. Not for one moment should anybody think that Sahaba did not have money or that they were all poor and that they didn't have anything. No. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an in one majlis gave 950 camels to the messenger. How many? In one gathering, one majlis. Today we give once and then we say, oh, we gave last year, we gave 2 years back, we gave 3 years back. In one majlis, 950 camels he gave. This is just one sahabi. It's not that they didn't have. But he never said that, you know, beautify your homes, let people know that it is the birth of your Nabi. Go and tell your women to cook the best of food, because to show people that it is the birth of your Nabi. He didn't say that, look, you know what, you look at me and come with a model of my masjid, masjid and Abu, we have a green dome. Well, there was no green dome, but whatever the naqsha was. And go out, march, do julus and, you know, take flags. Sahaba only took flags out in jihad. Where was it? Only in jihad, you know, not some easy stuff, you know, just walking on high fields and from one street to another. You know, Sahaba, they were people who meant business. Kya hai? People who meant business. These were great people. And inshallah, I also have a topic in mind, is that some people say that Islam spread by the sword. So let's look into that. Let's go and cover everything. And if you look at some of the things that, you know, fireworks display at the birth of Rasulullah, music, dancing, women without the hijab, cake cutting, Allahu Akbar, lights. And if we were to put all this in front of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you wonder that whether this would ever be accepted by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So now remember, this was never ever done in the time of Rasulullah. Never did he instruct. Never ever. He said everything, but he did not instruct. And for somebody to say that Eid Miladun Nabi. Look, brothers, you know, when we talk in this language, Aliyazu Billah, allow not the shaitan to put in your heart as if we don't love Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Not at all. Hum to hazaro martaba Allah ke Rasul ke liye jaan dene ke liye qurban hai. Hamari aulad bhi Allah ke Rasul ke liye fida ho. Why? Alhamdulillah. But what is important is that we follow this Nabi. What is important is that we follow this Nabi. Otherwise we lose everything. We lose everything. So for an example, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in one hadith, Muslim Sharif, that when a muadhin gives adhan, the shaitan runs away. The shaitan runs away. When the muadhin gives azan, shaitan runs away. So now with this hadith, somebody decides that, you know what, mashallah, Allah ke Rasul ne ye kaha hai, azan dene se shaitan bhaag jata hai. So now he comes with his own version of Islam and he says, you know what, we will give azan for janaza namaz. What will we do? What better time? Let's even give janaza adhan. And then somebody might say, you know what, Eid Salah, such a big crowd. Make sure that the shaitan runs away. So let's give adhan. And then he says, the proof of this is in a hadith in Muslim. Can that be proof? That cannot be proof. You cannot pick and choose. Remember, my respected brothers and elders, two things. Ibadat, acts of worship, and aqidah. What is it? These two departments. Ibadat and aqidah. A person can only follow the sharia. He cannot do ijtihad. He can only do ijtihad if there is proof of what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has already done. If there is proof that Rasulullah has already done this. Like Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. What did he do? He said Taraweeh is 20 rakats. But for Taraweeh, it is ibadat, but there is already proof that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was already praying Taraweeh. Was already praying. So a person, when it comes to worshipping Allah, he can only do that which is prescribed by Rasulullah. When it comes to aqidah, he can only do that which is prescribed by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yes, in anything else, there is gunjaish. But not in ibadat and not in aqaid. And then we come to the time of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, lovers of Rasulullah. The month of Rabiul Awwal, nothing happened. Hazrat Umar, Ashik of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 10 years, nothing. Hazrat Uthman, 12 years of Khilafat in the month of Rabiul Awwal, none of them ever celebrated Miladun Nabi. None of them. Hazrat Ali, what a warrior. What a warrior Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was. A mujahid who was the Amir in most of the battles. And Allah gave him futuhat. 5 years. Rabiul Awwal came. Nothing. No Miladun Nabi. Hazrat Amir Muawiyah, no Miladun Nabi. Came the time of Imam Bukhari, who loved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam so much, that for every hadith he put in his kitab, he would do ghusl, wudu, muraqaba in Masjid-e-Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sit in Masjid-e-Nabwi, then do muraqaba with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and when his heart had opened up, he would put that hadith in his kitab. If we open the chapters of Imam Bukhari, do we see a subtitle about this Miladun Nabi in the month of Rabiul Awwal? Imam Bukhari is silent. Imam Muslim is silent. All of the 6 a'imma of hadith don't talk about this. Imam Abu Hanifa is silent. Imam Malik is silent. Imam Shafi'i is silent. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal is silent. Everybody is quiet, my respected brothers. Nobody is talking about the Milad of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the reason for that is also very simple. Because it was unknown in the Muslim world for anyone to celebrate their birthday. Why? Because in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, first of all, nobody would record their birth date. Nobody would register that. Nobody would record that. Nobody knew of that. Never mind going back in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Even our grandparents who came from India and some parts of the world, you know, they didn't know their death, date of birth. And then it was just decided, you know, oh, just write any year and this is it. And so how old are you? And they would say, well, you know, in the passport it is this date, but wallahu alam, Allah knows best. They say that. Allah knows best. So this was something that was unknown in the Muslim part of the world. So nobody ever celebrated Miladun Nabi. They loved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They followed the seerah and the sunnah. What did they follow? The seerah and the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so what happened? When does this come about? This comes about in the 6th century. In the 6th century. The year 517 Hijri. 517 years thereafter. It is written in the books. The first time somebody ever celebrated and made it a public event, the birth of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and titled it as Miladun Nabi in the year 517 Hijri. In the year 517 Hijri. And the authority, the people who were celebrating the birth of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they celebrated on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. The 12th of Rabiul Awwal. Now the scholars unanimously agree that the demise of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. All agree that the demise of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. So this particular group of people, the Fatimid dynasty that were living in Egypt. And guess what, my respected brothers? They were not even of Sunni ideology. They did not even follow the Sunni ideology. In fact, they were Shias. What were they? So in the year 517, the Fatimid dynasty, they were the first people to openly celebrate and make it a public event as Miladun Nabi on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. So who are the Fatimid dynasty? Nowadays we've heard of the Ismailis. Have you heard of the Ismailis? Yes. Khojas and Bohras. So the Ismaili Khojas, the Bohras, the Fatimid dynasty is of their forefathers. Who are they? It is their forefathers. A very rich community, a lot of unity amongst them. So they were Shias, and the very first time this celebration took place was not of Sunni origin, but it was of Shia origin. And in the Fatimid dynasty, what would happen is that they were people who would celebrate not just the birth of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but they had instituted more than 40 to 50 celebrations. So what they would do is that they would celebrate the birth of every imam, the death of every imam, and the shahadat of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an Karbala. And they had every week, every 2-3 days, they had an event. And it was only a celebration. Now obviously, these were intelligent people, because where you have the celebration, it becomes something that is more of what we will call, it's something that is commercialized, because there are a lot of other things that you have to sell also. There's a lot of things that you have to sell. Now when you open up any kind of bid'ah, to close it, it becomes very difficult. Very difficult. The Barelvi clan themselves are crying, because what they see that is happening, they themselves say, well, this shouldn't happen, this shouldn't happen, this shouldn't happen. But who are the people who promoted this? Who promoted this? Who promoted this? Now, after promoting this, now when things get out of hand, you still want to keep your pride and your nose high, but you still want to also clean up the other mess that is there. So for an example, to go to the mazar of a wali of Allah, there is nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong. The wali of Allah is resting there, and you go there to pray Fatiha and you visit somebody, it's fine. But the issue is not visiting the mazar. The issue is the razzmatazz that you see in that area of the mazar. The dancing and the singing and the free mixing and the business and the cheats and all sorts that you see there, that is an issue. That becomes something for people to laugh about. So this is an issue, my respected brothers and elders, that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam's seerah, to love Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, like we have jalsas. Every time in the month of Rabiul Awwal, we talk about the seerah of Rasulullah. There are conferences of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam seerah. People can do all sorts, mashallah. Read lots of Durood Sharif. But the things that are being done today are something that Sharia does not allow. Sharia does not allow. So this was, actually this started with the Shias. And then this was in the year 517. Then 150 years after that, it was imported in amongst the Sunnis. And it went in a region, an area which is called Mosul. This area which is called Mosul. And Mosul even today is in Iraq. Mosul. And the king at that time was King Muzaffar. And the person who gave him the idea was a man whose name was Umar bin Muhammad Mullah. Umar bin Muhammad Mullah. Umar bin Muhammad Mullah. He gave him the idea. And so this time it was imported from the Fatimid dynasty. It went to the Sunnis in Iraq. So now what had happened is that, of course, every Muslim individual, emotionally, he loves Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for anything for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, people are prepared to give. So these celebrations and events that took place became very luxurious. A lot of food, a lot of dawat, a lot of things, everybody would wait. In fact, it would surpass even the festivals of Eid. And the people who had a lot of wealth gave a lot of money on this day. To such an extent that they did not accept anyone who did not call this day as Eid. Eid Miladun Nabi. And they went to the extreme by saying that anyone who does not do this, he is not a Sunni Muslim. But he is a Wahhabi. He is not a Sunni Muslim, but he is a Wahhabi. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Now, this is something that is very, very dangerous, my respected brothers and elders. So, once and for all, we have to understand this mas'ala that Miladun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam we accept, but in the right way. To love Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to talk about him, to read tahajjud, to send a lot of salawat, mashallah, to follow the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is accepted. Which can be done anytime, anyway. But not what we see that is happening around the world. This is something that is totally wrong. Now, for us to also understand, how did this begin in Iraq? What had happened is that, if you remember a few years ago, in fact last year, that Rabiul Awwal coincided with Diwali. Rabiul Awwal coincided with Diwali, the Hindu festival of Diwali. And also December, Christmas. So there was lights. And people didn't know actually. And one or two people were saying, you know, the Muslims are great people, you know, celebrating Christmas. What are they doing? Celebrating Christmas. But they didn't know actually, it's not Christmas, the lights were on because of Rabiul Awwal, Milad. So khair. In Iraq, what had happened is that at that time where the Muslims were living, in the neighboring country you had the Christians that were living. Now Rabiul Awwal coincided with December. Rabiul Awwal coincided with December. So some of these Christians, when they came and they would speak to the Muslims and they say, that you people have got a khilafat, you people have got a lot of wealth, you people have got power, you've got everything, a solid government, everything you have. And you don't even celebrate the birth of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We celebrate the birth of Jesus. So now when this was informed to the Shah at that time, the one who was the ruler, it is said that he decided now that we will also show the people that we will celebrate the birth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this way the birth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started, and this name was given Miladun Nabi. In the early days when the scholars heard of this, the scholars were of two opinions. Some of them categorically said this is haram. It is bid'ah, you can't do this. And some people said that yes, you can do, what you can do is that which is within the framework of Islam. So you can read salat, salawat, you can do that. You can read lots of durood, you can talk about the seerah and the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So people realize who Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. But anything else would not be jais. Anything else would not be jais. And that is how it actually started. Now my respected brothers, you know there's somebody who said to me that, Mauli Sahab, what should we do? Because there is a Mauli Sahab that sits on the pulpit who's got a long beard. What has he got? A long beard and a pagri and a long jabba. And he is saying that if you don't celebrate Eid Miladun Nabi, then you are not a Sunni. What are you? you are not a Sunni Muslim. And then, when we hear the other scholars, the other ulama also have a beard, pagri, and they sit on the pulpit and they say, no, you cannot celebrate Eid Miladun Nabi. So who do we follow? Kya kare bichare? The public, you know, they don't know what to do. They are caught. It is very simple, my respected brothers. Whenever there is a disagreement with two groups of the Muslim camp, whenever there is a disagreement between two groups of the Muslim camp, the Quran says, فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ, that whenever there is a dispute amongst two groups, Muslims, then obviously these two groups will not decide what is right and what is wrong because they have made their mindset. So the Quran is saying now what you do is very simple. Refer it back to Allah and His Rasul. What do you do? This is the golden rule, my respected brothers. You refer it back to who? Allah and His Rasul. This is what the Quran is saying. And if you refer it back to Allah and His Rasul, so go back in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam the life of Nuh alayhi salam, that he lived in this dunya for 900 years or 1,000 years, and that you have to study the seerah of Rasulullah for 1,000 years. No, only 63 years. And Nabuwat was only 23 years. Now go to the Quran and go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and see that this dispute, does it match in the life of Rasulullah? Did they do it? Did Allah and His Rasul do it? Was this the order of Allah? Was this the amal of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Did they do it? And if they did not do it, the Quran is saying, no matter who is in front of you, then what you do is you discard it. What do you do? You discard it. You follow those who follow the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is why Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has also said that when they followed what the Christians were doing and celebrating the birth of Jesus, and this is how it came in, Allah's Nabi has also said in one hadith that my ummah will follow the Christians and the Jews span by span, step by step. In fact, he went as far as saying that if one of them was to fornicate with the mother, somebody in my ummah will do the same in following them. This is what we see today, my respected brothers. Look at our children, look at our youth. When you say to them that this is the sunnah, it does not excite them. But when you say to them that now this is fashion, so and so person is doing this, so and so person is doing that, this is in the market, this is what the dunya is wanting from you, and you will see now automatically they will get excited. They will get excited. Subhanallah. Exactly what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said. Span by span, step by step, you will want to follow. Unless you follow the sunnah, the teachings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There are more rights in this country for you to follow Islam than in some of the Muslim countries. There are so-called Muslim countries in which a Muslim woman is, never mind the face veil, we won't even talk about the face veil, in which they are not even allowed to wear a scarf. Allah bless this country. Amen. And Allah protect this country. Amen. What a beautiful country that we live in. Alhamdulillah. We should make dua for all our neighbors. Alhamdulillah. This is our country, we should support this country, alhamdulillah. But at the same time, we should protect, because Islam promotes decency. What does Islam promote? Decency. And this is something that is very, very important. Otherwise, you'll see that the mind can be corrupted And Allah's Nabi is saying that you will do exactly what they will want you to do. Exactly. Trousers, dekhe, now ladies are wearing ripped jeans. What are they? Ladies. So when they sit, you know, this kneecap is visible. Now none of you should say, Maulvi Sahab, aapne dekha? I don't say that. You know, you have, nowadays you have to make things so clear with the people, Allahu Akbar, you know, the mind is such that it floats all the time. You know, don't think like that. You know, we live in the world and we see everything, mashallah. Don't we see everything? So this is the reality of this world. Subhanallah al-Azim. So you refer everything to who? Allah and His Rasul. That is why in one hadith it comes, if we understand this, it's very easy. Now somebody is saying, okay, do we accept Miladun Nabi or we don't accept Miladun Nabi? Don't listen to the Imam of Masjid Umar. No. Go back to the hadith. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there will be 73 groups in my ummah. How many groups? 72 will fall in Jahannam. How many? 72. Everyone is saying we are right. 72 will go in Jahannam. Sahih hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One will go to Jannah. Now, who is this one group? Look how simple Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made for us. Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi. Those who follow my sunnah and those who follow my companions. So now you just look at sahaba. Sahaba-i kiram ajma'in, did they do this? If they did it, alhamdulillah, don't listen to nobody. Follow the sahaba. But if they didn't do this, then by Allah, be very careful. Because if you misquote me, it's fine. But if you misquote Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that is your designated place in Jahannam. Be very, very careful, my respected brothers and elders. Now, for a person to say something that this is a good deed, so we are cutting a cake, it is a good deed. So we are dancing in the streets, why? We are happy, we are showing people, our Nabi came, and you know, some people give logic that, you know what, we are a minority, and if we come out of the streets like this, this will show our authority and our power and this and that. Are bhai, if you really want to show your authority, why don't the whole ummah come for Fajr, Zohar, Asr and go for your five times a day in the masjid? That is your authority. Not this once in a year. So now, is this sunnah? Is this what you are doing? Is this sunnah? What is thawab? What is a good deed? This is something, if we can understand this inshallah in a few minutes just to conclude, it becomes very easy. Thawab, neki, a good deed is that which is the order of Allah, explained, endorsed and practiced upon by Rasulullah. Sahaba-i kiram ajma'in took that and they made amal on it. What did they do? Now, these three categories, Allah, His Rasul and Sahaba, practice. This is deed, this is a good deed. Bas khatam. They read tahajjud, is proof. They did miswak, there is proof. They read ishraq, there is proof. They give charity, that is proof. All of the deeds, it is established by Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. That is why Hazrat Umar, what an intelligent man he was, to make it very clear, he is looking at the black stone and he is speaking to the black stone and he is saying, Ya Hajar, O stone, listen to me. You cannot give benefit to anybody. And you cannot harm anybody. Aqeedah. But the only reason Umar and the Muslims kiss you is because who kissed you? Rasul sallallahu. If Allah's Nabi was to kiss a stone, it becomes ibadat. What does it become? Ibadat. We only follow that tartib. And something which is even more amazing, when Hazrat Amir Muawiyah embraced Islam, so obviously he was new to Islam. So now when he was doing tawaf of the Kaaba, he was kissing all four corners of the Kaaba. So wherever he went, he would kiss this corner, that corner, this corner, this corner, this corner, that. He was kissing all the time. So 7 times he's going round and he's kissing all the 4 corners. Hazrat Abbas, the uncle of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is sitting at the back and he's looking, he says, Muawiyah, what is he doing? Kissing all the 4 corners of Kaaba. So after tawaf, he called Hazrat Amir Muawiyah, Hazrat Abbas. And he says, Abbas, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm kissing the 4 corners of the Kaaba. He goes, no, you shouldn't kiss the 4 corners of the Kaaba. Only the Hajar, the black stone. Now, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah put in front of him logic. What did he do? Put in front of him?
Logic.
He says, O uncle of the messenger, it's not that I'm kissing something else. I'm kissing the Kaaba. Look, what can be wrong in kissing the Kaaba? If I kiss the Kaaba, look, you know, why are you faulting me? What's the problem? I just kissed the 4 corners. There's nothing wrong with kissing. Hazrat Abbas, Sahaba were great people. He says, no, Muawiyah. Don't you know that deen, religion, Allahu Akbar, it has a boundary. What is it? It has a boundary, and that boundary is given to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you start doing what you want, and another person will do what he wants, and the third person will do what he wants, then we will lose our deen. What will we do? We will lose our deen. So we need to thank our ulama who wrote books, who would sit on the pulpit and who would explain to the people, for the sake of Allah, love Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You love him? Wake up for tahajjud. You love him? Wear sunnah libas. You love him? Do everything that he did, mashallah, but abstain from things that he did not do. That is why, my respected brothers, imagine if the birthday was meant to be celebrated, if Allah Pak wanted that, then let us look at history. The Jews were given which day by Allah? Yawm al-Sabt, Saturday. The Christians were given which day?
Sunday.
The Jews came first. What day was given? Saturday. After the Jews came the Christians. What day was given to them?
Sunday.
Then after the Christians came the Muslims. In a line, what day should be given to us?
Monday.
What day should be given to us?
Monday.
What day should be given to us?
Monday.
For them, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday. That day should be given to us. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was questioned that why do you fast on a Monday, he said, on a Monday I was born. What did he say? On a Monday I was born. That is why I am fasting. It was very easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give Monday to be the most honorable day for the Muslims, Monday. And we would read our namaz on a Monday. And it would also coincide with the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Shariat did not want this, did not accept this. Sharia took it away from Monday and gave the Muslims
Friday,
Yawmul Jumu'ah. On Yawmul Jumu'ah, Adam alayhi salam was born. Adam alayhi salam was brought down. Adam alayhi salam was uplifted. And the day of Qiyamah will come. And Nafkhay Sur, some riwayat, it will be Yawmul Jumu'ah. But not on a Monday. What is it? Not on a Monday. Now tell me, my respected brothers, if the intention was to celebrate the birth of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why did Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam choose to fast? Because he himself did not want people to celebrate his birth. Just like how on Eid day it is haram to fast. What is it? Eid day it is haram to fast. But on his birthday, Monday, he is fasting every day. Every Monday he is fasting. That is why it is the sunnah to fast on a Monday and a Thursday. Monday, and one reason was this. Why? so that people don't move away from the teachings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like previously what had happened is with the Christian community. Baat samajh mein aayi? So alhamdulillah, my respected brothers and elders, these are masail that we need to understand, that alhamdulillah, in the month of Rabiul Awwal, we all love Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everybody loves Rasulullah. But shaitan opens the doors of bid'at. What does he do? And when somebody tells you something which is right, accept it. If somebody tells you this is wrong, accept it. Why? Because on the day of Qiyamah, Allah's Nabi will say, I know this man, he's my ummati, he's my ummati, he's my ummati. Jibreel Amin will come and say, no, Ya Rasulullah, yes, he is your ummati. But unfortunately, after your departure from this dunya, these were the people who introduced new things in your deen. What did they do? They introduced new things. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, move him away from me, move him away from me, move him away from me. Allahu Akbar. We have to be very, very careful, my respected brothers. I am not here and somebody might say, oh, what kind of a topic this is, my respected brothers. This is a very important topic. The most important topic. The most important subject in Islam is Tawheed and Aqeedah. What is it? Tawheed, most important, Tawheed and Aqeedah. Otherwise you go wrong. Allah Pak Mujhe Aapko Tawfeeq De. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ata'na gufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir bi rahmatika ya rahmallah.